Puck Report. We're back. Both hosts. Ooh. I'm your host, Jay Stevens, and then the other host.
The G-Man, Gary Michaels.
The G-Man, Gary Michaels. Gary, it's good to see you again.
Hey, lovely to see you as well. It's been a while.
It has been a while. I'm non-essential, so I haven't been able to come into the building, and I'm also a threat because I'm a firefighter, and they think I'm around the virus a lot. So this is what we get.
Seeing more people around the building, so that's a good sign.
Yeah, I was invited in last week. They told me I can come back, so I'm going to start coming back next week.
All right, cool. So,
yeah, it'll be fun. I want to thank our sponsors. Want to thank our sponsor Jersey Mike.
Camera.
Yeah, you need to get something going on there. Jersey Mike Subs, our main sponsor, and we want to thank them for everything. And we have the Burns family on today. We're going to take care of the Burns family, make sure they all get Jersey Mike Subs. And there's a Jersey Mike's by you. They do tons of work in the community. I don't know of a sandwich shop or of a restaurant that does more work in the community. They're constantly donating. And when the virus first broke out, they were all over the place helping and donating subs everywhere they could. And they were helping firefighters out while we were out, bringing in patients and dealing with the virus. So anyway,
last week, they had a full day dedicated to, right, just giving every dollar made in every Jersey Mike's went to.
Yeah, 100%, 100% of their intake, amazing. Not just proceeds, but 100% of every penny they made went to the Make-A-Wish Foundation in Utah. Yeah, awesome. Very special guests today. We've got a whole family in, and if you've listened to several of the shows, you've heard a name come up quite often. Jeff Levy mentioned him last week, and before that, I'm trying to remember everybody that's talked about Coach Burns, and Eric Johnson talked about him. And I know Steve Konowalczyk mentioned him. So, Buzz Burns. Buzz, how are you?
What's the question, Jay?
I'm just asking how you are.
He just asked how you're
doing. Oh, doing great, Jay. Doing great. Well, I think my hair is going, though.
Well, and that's, for all of us. I just want to thank you for coming on the show, and you've got your whole family with you. You've got Larry, who played for a long time. You've got Blake, who's played for a long time. And you've got Brooke, who's currently playing at the University of Utah for the women's team. I want to get into all of that. But first, Buzz, tell us about how you got into hockey, when it was and where it was.
I grew up in St. Paul, Minnesota, and it was just something you did in the wintertime. The firemen, of all people, would come and flood the playgrounds in the wintertime at the schools. And that's where we skated. It was a big skating rink. We had a warming shack. And we often would, some of the people would, or the playground people would build a hockey rink. But for the most part, we played a lot of shinny hockey on the playground. And all you had for a goal were maybe your boots that you took off when you put your skates on, or a couple of cans. And you just go down there and skate all afternoon, and sometimes in the evening they had the lights on. And that's how I got started. Basically, as I grew up, I remember my brother taking me to a high school. One of the first high school tournament games I saw was in St. Paul Auditorium. Had to be like 1949, not to give you my age, but I was just a kid. And I remember, I'll never forget, it was War Road, Minnesota was one of the teams. Saw St. Paul, Minnesota was there, and that's where my brother went. And matter of fact, that's where Phil Housley
came
St. Paul and went right into the NHL. But anyway, that game was interesting because two of the main players were Max Oshie and Buster Oshie. Max was a senior in War Road High School, and Buster was a seventh grader. There was 100 kids in the whole school from kindergarten up. Anyway, I talked to Bob Johnson years later, and he coached that team at one time. And he said, oh, yeah, Max, he said he'd play up front for a while, then we'd put him back in defense and let him rest. But anyway, from there, growing up and getting back into it when my kids were little, we practiced on outside ice in the Stillwater area. That's just a suburb, basically, now of St. Paul. And Inside Ice was a real privilege. When you got Inside Ice, you used every minute of it. You didn't stand around talking about coaching, telling kids what to do. You did that in the locker room or before or after the game or your practice. And I remember when I came out here and I started coaching, Joe Rogers always had to kick me off the rink because I stayed on that rink every second because we were used to the outside ice. Outside ice is interesting in Minnesota because you go there after work, you coach. There's maybe some snow on there, so you got snow shovels, and you have the kids go around the snow shovels and get the snow off. You find out who the good parents are. They'll come out and help you. The other ones would sit up and listen to the radio in the car, you know. Interesting. And then once in a while you'd come and some broomball people were there, and they got the whole rink messed up with straw from broom. And you know when you hit something like that when you're skating.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, that was our early entrance into coaching back there. And we had good clinics put on by high school coaches. And back there, I don't know if you're aware of it, but youth hockey is surrounded by the high school. In other words, if you had Brighton High School, it would be a huge hockey organization. You might have 6 or 7 peewee teams. And out of these peewee teams, you might have, back then, there was maybe 1 or 2 travel teams, an A and a B. Nowadays, back there, they've got A, B, C travel teams. And these travel teams would just go around to the suburbs, like around here, be Olympus, East, you name them, Alta, Brighton. Each of those places would have their own hockey association, and each of them would have their A travel team, B travel team, C travel team, and 5 or 6 house teams. So they got a lot of people to choose from, and traveling was not a big deal. You're just driving around the area. I came out here. One of the first things I found out when I got the kids going was a travel team. You want kid to try out for the travel team? I said, well, yeah, why not? You know, and who do you play? Well, we go to Los Angeles. I said, what? You know,
yeah.
I go to Denver. And I said, well, that's pretty far. You know, you got to take off work and all that stuff. So it was quite an experience. But I got into it. First, I started coaching a house team and Marcus Rude, he's an old timer who's not with us anymore, but he was the manager of a travel team. And I think it was Joel that was on there, Larry's older brother. And all of a sudden, he had a couple of guys coaching the team and he fired him. and he says, you're the new coach. I said, what? You know, he didn't even ask me. Anyway, that's how I kind of got started in it around here. And you know, he saw some of the drills I did and, you know, just stuff that I had. I guess I kept kids busy on the ice all the time. And I was surprised. I'd come out and I'd see, we'd have inside ice and a practice, and I'd see coaches out there talking for 15 minutes, you know.
Yeah, and just wasting ice time.
That just didn't work.
Yeah. But,
so anyway, that's how I got going. And it's, we can go a long ways from there. It's there's a lot to it.
So when you first started coaching in Utah and you got voluntold that you're going to be the head coach now, did you have aspirations of, I'm going to turn this thing around, or did you just think, all right, well, I'm going to give these kids an opportunity? Did you start trying to plan things out?
I had a very busy job. It kept me very busy. And I wasn't really looking to take on a travel team. But you do what you do. And, you know, that wasn't my goal to come out and coach travel hockey at that point. It kind of grew into it after a while.
Okay. So, Larry, this is towards you here. As you're growing up, you moved to Utah, and now your dad's the head coach. Are you forced into hockey, or are you still passionate? I want to play hockey, and I'm going to do what my dad tells me to do.
You know, I remember as a kid in Minnesota, I mean, most Minnesotans learn to skate on a pond. And I remember I was 2 years old, I think, at one time skating. And my dad got me into hockey when I was four. And I just remember I loved it from day one. And, you know, he talked about the outdoor rinks. And I remember going and watching my brother play outdoors. And I mean, my mom would probably just hate it because my dad would keep us out there forever all night. And, you know, the pucks would shoot over the boards and I'd dive into the snowbank and chase pucks down. And I mean, I loved it from day one. And then when we moved out here, I mean, it was a whole new world. It was like, well, okay, where do we play hockey? And, you know, fortunately, my dad was, you know, he found us a place to play, and it just kind of escalated from there. So.
Nice. And as you guys are growing up there, Buzz, you end up coaching some of the players that first get out of here, and your name comes up all the time as somebody that influenced them and helped them understand hockey better. And I just mentioned Jeff Levy is one of them, and Eric Johnson's another one. These are some of the first kids that ever got out of Utah. Do you remember seeing kids and thinking, these guys are good enough to maybe do something with hockey?
I don't know if we talked about those ambitions at that point. It was just being the best you can. And I remember when Larry got involved in the travel team, you know, it took a couple, when he was a mite, they went up to Canada. I couldn't believe it. I didn't go with, he went with the Levies, you know, he was like seven, I guess. I couldn't believe they're going up there, but they did. And I think I was an assistant on that team or whatever, but I didn't go. It was too hard to get away from work. When the kids were squirts was when they really started to come on, and they were a good group of kids. As a matter of fact, the group before that was a really good bunch. That's the one where Marcus Rood was involved. And I came out here from Minnesota and I saw these kids skating. I was impressed. I mean, there was, Darren Liddell, you probably know, he's been around. He was he was one of the best skaters I ever saw when he was like 10 years old. And the whole group of Marcus Rood, his boy was Marcus, and Mark Harmon and Rod Robinson. And I hate to leave anybody out. They were just a bunch of good kids. And anyway, in Larry's group, as they moved up, you know, they were all on house teams and they used to play against each other on the house teams. And the way it was done, if you had a travel team, you didn't have any competition. Who are you going to play? So the squirt travel team would play peewee house teams. And sometimes they'd load up that house team with another extra player or two. And that's how they got better and better. And of course, they used to have the old ABC lines. You remember that, Jay?
I do remember that. Yeah.
House teams. They divided the kids up in ABC lines so that you were playing against your own ability. And that worked out good because when you had a house team game, you had your A line and they were playing against the other team's A line. And they were all friends because they all played on a travel team together. But when that group was 10 years old, Paul Snow, Corey Furness, Hoyt, Justin Hunter. I hate to start naming the kids because they were all great kids.
Don't name them. Everybody wants to hear their name. So
yeah, Billiter played, you know. And anyway, we had a great group, and we were winning tournaments around the West. We were doing great. And one day, Roger Furness, Corey's dad, he said, well, where's some really good hockey where the kids could play? And I said, well, how far do you want to go? He said, anywhere. And I said, well, you could try and get into that Edina tournament back in Minnesota. It's, you know, about as good as they get back there. It's pretty well known. And he said, well, let's see if you can get on it. He says, we'll fly you back there. And Roger was very successful at the time. He had a trucking company. And lo and behold, we got into the tournament in Edina, squirt team from Salt Lake City. Some woman said, well, where's Salt Lake? You know, they had 10,000 lakes.
Wow.
One of them. But anyway, we went back there and we won that tournament. And it was, yeah, it was kind of the talk of the whole tournament back there. How'd these kids from Salt Lake City come here and whip us? And if you looked at the scores, and Larry's got some of those books, we really outplayed them. I mean, we outscored them by several goals when you added everything up. And the championship was against a team from New Hope, Minnesota. And I think they were really taken back that this team from Salt Lake had come in there. And it was interesting because we had some successful people that kind of sponsored our team back then. And one parent, I think it was Jim Levy, he got through his contacts where he worked. He got us all sweatsuits that matched. And another parent got all the kids cowboy hats that matched. And
that's awesome.
It was impressive. And we won that tournament. And we went back there a couple of years later. We went back as peewees. And guess what? You know, they started catching up to us. Let's put it that way. We got so much talent back there. And it's tough. But we did fine. And as peewees, that same group in their second year, we were the first team to ever go to the Nationals. And that's before there was Tier 1, Tier 2. It was Tier 1. And we went to Ecorse, Michigan, which is Detroit. And the teams were from Massachusetts. And the one that won was from the Buffalo area. They called them the Wheatfield Blades. And the coach, I talked to him. He said, yeah, we had like 500 kids to choose from.
Oh, man.
And I said, I think we cut one.
That's one of the things a lot of people don't realize about when we're talking about these tournaments. When I was coaching, and I was lucky enough, I think I coached Blake one year, but anyway, when I was coaching, I wouldn't even be the main guy that made my first cuts. I would always bring in outsiders. So I brought in Riley Armstrong and a couple outsiders that were NHL draft picks or whatever, guys that I knew. And I said, come in here and watch my tryouts and help me pick like legit team, no politics. And they'd get there and they'd be like, okay, so this is ice session one. The guys would get on the ice and during warmups, they'd be like, well, that kid barely can turn left. And they'd just scratch his name off the sheet. And I'd be like, whoa,
not yet.
This isn't just ice session one. This is every kid we have to pick from. You can't cut guys because, you know, we only have 25 guys. We can't make 10 cuts before we've even dropped pucks. But that's, yeah, you talk about these hockey deep areas and they have a lot more players to pick from. So it's impressive that you were able to go back into these deep areas and win games and give these kids this experience.
Nationals. We beat the team from Toledo. Our first game we lost to the Wheatfield Blades, and that team won the tournament that year. And we scored the first goal on them. And I think it was Justin Hunter took a kind of a cheap shot at one of the kids. And
weird.
They were really upset about that. But anyway, we represented ourselves okay. And but we got there, you know. Even though I think that same year we probably lost some games in Minnesota, but we got out of our region, which was huge at the time. It was Washington State, California, Texas.
17 states.
Yeah, 17 states at the time.
Yeah, jeez. Yeah. And that 17 states probably still didn't have the talent pool of one city in Minnesota, or you know the amount of tryouts.
But we had to win the Western Regionals to go to the Nationals, and that represented 17 states. And that was California, Washington, Texas, you name it, Colorado. We were kind of Colorado's nemesis. We would go over there. They really didn't like us because we would come over there and win very often.
Those so games, as these kids got older, when did you start realizing that you needed to help some of these kids get somewhere? Was there a point when you're like, oh yeah, that guy, maybe I can make a phone call, or maybe I can, did you still have connections to help these guys?
You know, probably one of the best things we did was in high school, the Johnson's, it used to be the Johnson's National Tournament. We took a team back there from Salt Lake City. And it was, you know, the team was kind of picked, not by me necessarily, but by the association. And we represented kids from, maybe a couple of kids from Ogden and so on and so forth. But we went back there and you heard these big names at that time that were in the tournament. And we still got some programs around, and you go through them and you'll see these kids who were in that tournament that were pros. I'm trying to, was John LeClaire? Was he the one that was there, Larry?
I don't know.
John, yeah. Played for the Flyers, I think.
Anyway. Larry, why does your dad remember so much more about all this than you seem to?
Because I probably had too many concussions.
Whoops. Yeah.
Anyway, some of these others got stories. If you want more, I could talk all day, but I don't want to do that to you.
Well, I mean, that's why we're here, Buzz. We're here to hear your story. We want to hear all the Burns family story. But I you know, it's just – to me, and having your name keep coming up, and then obviously when I started playing, my story has been told a million times on this podcast, but my first team ever was Murray High. And, you know, you get out there, my first tryouts ever were Murray High. And I, with Justin Hunter, when you keep bringing up his name, I was afraid to death of that guy. Like he, as a new goalie, because I borrowed equipment, and Justin Hunter scared me to death because he had a, you know, he was a feisty player and he liked to shoot, you know, about neck high.
He was a goalie.
Yeah. Yeah. So when I started playing, you were here established in coaching, and Larry at this point was well established. Larry, I think you're a year older than me, maybe two. But you guys were already a name here, and at the time, I didn't realize how much of an impact you already had on this area. And at 15, 16 years old, you don't realize that hockey was pretty young back then too. So when I got in here, people are talking. I remember Bill Miller, especially talk. He spoke very highly of you and was talking about some of the guys around here that could help me develop or would help players get better. But your name came up quite a bit back then, and the more I do this podcast, and Gary can attest, the more your name comes up. And when we talk to Matt Brickley, and Matt talks about when he was trying to kind of build into these leagues, you're one of the guys everybody seemed to lean on. And is that, it's not just your Minnesota upbringing. It's the fact that you're a quality guy and you're willing to put in the time and you're smart enough to be able to share some of that leadership and those traits with these guys that are around here. So I don't know if you realize how much impact you've had on this area.
It could be, you know, on that Johnson High School All-Star thing in Chicago is where it was. We took that's where Jeff Levy got his recognition, his first real recognition. And I didn't go that year. That was like the third year. But he won the goalie competition that year. The first year we went, we even threw in Brian Konowalczyk, who was like 14 at the time, to play on the team. So or that was when Guy Hildebrand was around. I don't know if you knew Guy, but he was an ex-pro, and kids loved him. He was a fun guy. He used to play for what was the team that was Houston, where the Howes were on, Gordie Howe and his two boys. First year, what was that league, Larry? Do you know? Not the NHL, but the
WHL, the early WHL,
the one that combined with the NHL. It was a pro, yeah.
And, yeah, it was the WHL.
Gordie Howe and his two boys were on it, and Guy Hildebrand played on that team. He's a Canadian. He played at Colorado College, and he coached one of the teams we took back to that Chicago thing, and Brian Konowalczyk was there. I remember Brian wanted to get on the ice, and he said something to Guy, and Guy just said, just sit there. I'll let you know. And he did. He went in and – he played well. And but he was just a kid at that time, and that's of course Steve's older brother. So
yeah.
Brian played at Colorado College for
He was Denver University. He owned some records there, and then he was a, I think, fourth round draft pick from the San Jose Sharks, and then turned it down to go to med school.
Yeah.
Amazing. And just another kid that you coached that ended up getting out of here, which is, and then it took another 10 years for us to get another set of players. So we had the initial impact from you and your group around here that got guys out of here, and then my age group didn't put anybody anywhere. And then we finally got some people to figure stuff out.
I think if the group of kids we had would have grown up in a real hockey area where they had more and more exposure, I think they would have done better. Yeah, Paul Snow, great example.
Absolutely. Paul
played roller hockey for a while.
Yeah. You know,
pro league they had in Salt Lake, and he was always fun to watch. Good player. We just had a good bunch of kids.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you think that it's evolved really? Like, how do you think the evolution it's evolved here in Utah since you were here? Do you think it's been great?
I think it's it's continued to grow, but not like they did in Colorado, for example. But the way I look at that is, when you have an NHL team in town, it just seems to make all the difference in the world. Look at Phoenix. Going back to some of these tournaments and some of these hockey schools, let's see, how long ago was it? Blake was 9 years old. He was a squirt. He took him up to Claude Lemieux's hockey camp in Park City.
Yeah.
And they had a trainer named Boris Doroshenko. I don't know if you can tell that. And Boris is from Ukraine, and he was really a hard case, tough trainer. And he had these kids up there, and Claude Lemieux was there, and they brought a bunch of kids from Phoenix. And I looked around, and I said, I never seen a kid skate like that in my life, 9 years old. You know who that was?
I'm guessing.
Austin Matthews.
Yeah. He's got another kid out of his camp too, that Kyle Keller or whatever. Clayton Keller.
Well, Lemieux's kid was there. He's with LA now.
Right.
I don't know if he's seen a lot of ice either, but he's been with the Rangers and you know, he's a pro, you know. But Matthews was amazing, you know. And he was coached by Boris for years. I often thought how much of an influence Boris might have been on him. And but he's doing well. He's leading his team in scoring, not in scoring, in goals. But I got a little funny sideline to that, because I used to help Blake tie his skates. You know, he was nine, little guy. And Boris, with his accent, said that right in front of all these people, he's, oh, that poor kid, his grandpa has to help him with his skates. Well, I never helped him again after that. Back home, he comes and he tells his mother about this, and I think he probably had a tear in his eye, okay? Maybe. And this little one was six. She was six. And she was hearing all of this, of course. And she started tying her own skates. Or said so.
No better motivation than peer pressure.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they have a lot of stories about Boris, but Austin Matthews coming out of Phoenix, Arizona, what can you say? And the same with Lemieux's kid. He grew up, played there, but, of course, Lemieux got him playing and had him playing all over the place in Canada and for Little Caesars or whoever. But
yeah. Okay. So Blake, let me ask you – what's it? So you grow up and you have the dad that's a hockey player, and then you have the grandpa that's also the hockey player. Did you ever get conflicting information from them? And did you know that you ever had a choice to not play hockey?
No, definitely no choice there for me. Like, I think as long as I can remember, I've been skating for sure. So I've been on the ice since I could walk. Like both of them have been my coaches. I think both of them were my coaches and my might team. And I think they they were pretty consistent. I think my dad always would go off with like the rest of the team, and my grandpa would help me because I was a struggle back then. Definitely got the one-on-one instruction here, but yeah, no, I think that they'd be pretty unified, pretty one-minded when it comes to it. I think kind of came up in that school of thought. So
did you ever realize how awesome it was that you had this, that not every kid has, like for most kids your age, they were lucky to have one parent playing. And normally they had, their parents didn't know anything about hockey. And here you were, you had, quite a nest egg of hockey knowledge. Did you realize that?
No, I don't think I realized that till I was a little bit older, but yeah, I was really lucky. My grandpa was always the one like driving me to all the camps around town or hockey practice, taking me to the sticking pucks and working on skills with me. And I definitely know not many people had that around here. And I think I was pretty lucky in that regard.
Yeah. Brooke's got a picture to show you.
This is Blake sucking his thumb.
Okay. I want to make sure you send that to me. Brooke, you have my email address. Send that to me, and we'll make sure we put that on with the podcast.
I used to take him down to the Cottonwood rink and skate him around, and then he'd say, I got to go over there. He wanted to go rest, and I said, where? And it was the penalty box. So we thought maybe his father influenced him on that.
So Brooke, now you're still playing, and now you grew up with the same resources that Blake had. And tell me a little bit about your experience growing up with everyone in the family. You got your grandpa, your older brother, your dad, everybody's playing. Tell us a little bit about your hockey experience.
So, I mean, it was kind of unexpected for the family to have a girl, and they're like, finally, someone who doesn't play hockey. But then I don't remember a time where I wasn't skating. I've always skated. I've always been rollerblading out in the front yard. And I mean, being a girl, I was the only one at, Start Smart at Murray. Yeah. And I've played since I was like 3 or 4, like started around there. But just being a girl, I grew up with mostly guys playing. So it was a little different for me. I feel like my grandpa, my dad fought pretty hard for me to know I'm just the same as any of the guys. And I think having them as my coaches too helped the guys realize that I'm just as good as them. Like I grew up playing with Dylan Hale, and we ended up being really good friends all growing up. And that's because of Tim Hale and my dad being such close friends. It was just nice knowing I had guys playing this sport that still appreciated me being there. And it was just nice having them to kind of coach me through that and treat me the same.
Yeah. Was there a time where you actually had to say, hey, I want in, or were you just always included?
Oh, I don't know.
Because I can set this question up a little bit better. Cause I can tell you, my daughter constantly said, this year I'm playing hockey. And my wife just said, please, please don't just give me one person in the family that's not playing hockey, play any other sport. But my wife really didn't want my daughter to play. And when my daughter went away to college, she's like, I could have been good enough to make a team. Like, if you guys would have let me play. So she was mad at me for not letting her play. And I guess I didn't fight hard enough for her, but.
Happy life, buddy.
What's that?
Happy wife, happy life.
Yes. Yes. There definitely is that. Yeah. And I think if she would have, she asked at the beginning of every year, and I think maybe she would have followed up on it. We probably would have realized that she was serious about it. But she found other sports to bury herself into, and the rest is history. But did you ever feel like that? Did you ever feel like, hey, look, I want in, and this is the time I'm getting in? Or were you just always part of it?
I feel like I was always part of it. At least like a foot was dipped in the water. But when I was about 5, I was doing gymnastics and violin and hockey. And there was a point where I just said, I just want to play hockey. Take me out of the other things.
Nice.
and I've kind of been the same since. I've done other things since, but hockey's always been where I'm happiest at. And just, it's a family thing, and you just feel close to family when you do it.
Yeah. I love everything. I love everything you just said, the family thing and that hockey's where I'm happy. I love that. So I want to talk a little bit about what you've got going on with the University of Utah. You have a new coach. Have you had a chance? COVID's kind of screwed everything up, but have you had a chance to meet your coach? Did you know your coach from before?
So Brayden, our head coach, she's awesome. She was our assistant coach last year. And she got bumped up. She's fantastic. We were all so happy when they had her interviewing for the head coach position, because she really connected with all of us last season, and she did a fantastic job because she did play some college hockey too. So she knows what it's like to be a girl in college and doing all your schoolwork, going to practice, going to games, being out of town every other weekend. She knew how that went. And then we have Amanda, which is our other new coach, I believe. And she's awesome too. We met with her. So I'm excited for this upcoming season. It's going to be good. I'm really happy that Brayden's going to be there.
Do you know where she played college?
Oh, I want to say it was in Colorado. Okay. I don't want you to quote me on it.
Okay. Well, I mean, you're on a live show, so I don't have to quote anything, but yeah, no, but we're not going to hold you to that. I'll do some fact finding and I'll post it. I'm actually doing a story on the University of Utah overall right now.
That's awesome.
And Larry, you played at the U, didn't you?
No, I didn't. My brother did though.
Okay. All right. I knew one of you guys did. But anyway, I'm doing a story about the University of Utah's kind of had a rebirth this year. And, you know, obviously we all support Morgan and everything she's going through right now. And we love her. She's been on the show, and we just want to offer our support with her. We're excited about that you guys were able to bring in somebody that you already had somebody there that has that kind of experience to carry the torch for the University of Utah.
Yeah.
And that's phenomenal for you guys. But for the men's team, it's kind of a rebirth too. New coaching, new direction. And there was some drama last year with both programs, and it sounds like all of that's been put behind you. And so we're doing a story on that right now. And I'm excited. And when we talk about it and we talk about some of the players that the University of Utah women's team has, your name comes up a lot and local girls' names come up a lot, which is good. It shows that, you know, you obviously, I look to your right and I see a lot of support and a lot of knowledge. Yeah. I see that you were, on my camera, it's to your right. I don't know if in real life that's to your right.
It's to our right. Yeah.
Okay, perfect. I realized the other day that sometimes things get flipped around. But you've had a wealth of knowledge, and it's good to see that you really are one of the top players for the U. That's awesome that we can do that. Because a lot of times our programs, they're local programs, but their top players aren't necessarily local players. So I'm just excited for you guys. I'm happy, and I'm proud of all the Burns family. I'm glad I got to know you guys. And it's just very cool. Larry, is there anything else? I feel like I didn't get enough time to talk to you, because you grew up here playing hockey and you played with all these great guys. Can you tell me a little bit about growing up with some of these guys that went on to the NHL even college out of here?
Well, I mean, you've talked to a lot of the guys I grew up playing with. I mean, certainly the Levy boys were a big part of growing up. Scotty and I have played forever, and Paul Snow, and you know, a lot of our group, you know, we had a lot of really good players, but not at that time, not many of us got the opportunity to go to play professional or even college. So but we did have a very good group of people, and a lot of those players I still know, and many of them coach or their kids are involved still. And
you got the USA, you got the US Hockey League back in Sioux City you played.
Yeah. I mean, I was fortunate enough to play in the USHL with, I know Paul Snow played a little bit there too. And even Jeff played there. I played against him in Rochester when he played. But that's about the extent where I went with hockey.
Well, I mean, that's huge though. I mean, that's kind of what I was hoping you would talk about. We don't want to brush over the fact that you played in the USHL and be like, oh, I just happened to play in the USHL. I mean, that's a huge accomplishment out of Utah. That's,
yeah, it was definitely a big step to make it to the USHL, even back in the 80s when I played there. So, and certainly now, you know, the league is a feeder for the pros. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah, it was a good experience, you know, and I was glad to share it with others that I had grown up with. Tim Hill's another one. I mean, he was very successful and went through and played college in Wisconsin, Stevens Point. So he had a good career. So
yeah.
They were a great Division II team. I think they won the national championships as Division II. They had beaten Division I teams, so – where Tim played.
Yeah. I need to have Tim on. Tim's the head coach of Murray High still, I believe. His son Dylan played. He's got, I think he has a couple more kids. He has a daughter playing too, right?
No, just Maddox is playing.
Oh, okay.
He's doing well. He's pretty young yet, but I don't know. He's growing up. He might be a Bantam by now. I'm not sure.
Yeah, he's in high school now. He's playing for Murray. I saw them a few weeks ago.
Yeah, see, that's somebody else we need to have on. And, you know, you guys just had some phenomenal players at that time, and we need to get them all on and talk to them and listen to their stories.
I even skipped over our high school days, but we won the state championship back when Larry and Joel both played, and that was a lot of fun.
Which high school was this?
Olympus.
Olympus.
What year was that, Larry?
85.
Back
in the day.
It was very competitive.
I graduated.
The game was against Roger Ruggiero and Highland High School, and, you know, the Levy boys were there. And it was a great time. Very competitive back then, high school league. And the old Hygieia, if you remember that place.
Yeah.
It was pounded on the walls, and it was very noisy. But, yeah, we won a state championship back then, and Joel was a good hockey player. He played, he converted over from being a forward kind of necessarily on the travel team, became a defenseman. And he used to, our goalie, you know, great kids, but he had like a year or two experience, and Joel would block more shots than the goalie for the most part. he had a lot of fun playing defense. He kind of managed the game when he was on the ice. He was a lot of fun to watch. He went to North Iowa, and he made that team, and they had eight defensemen. And he says, I'm going to go back and go to school. And he went back to the U, and he played for Lyle Bradley at the U. And they were pretty good back then.
So we have Blake's a young father, right? We have another Burns that's going to be playing hockey here pretty soon?
Oh, probably pretty soon. Like my daughter, she's just under 11 months now. So she's starting to look like she's going to walk, and we'll be sure to get her on ice skates as soon as that happens. So.
Perfect. So Nash, yep, Brooke's ready to be the influence.
I already am the bad influence. No.
Nice, the bad influence. I like it. Garrett, do you have any questions?
Was anybody in the family coach outside of Grandpa? Anybody else coaching?
I did some coaching. I actually coached my kids when they were just from when they were little till through high school. I coached 7 years at Brighton High School with them. So, yeah, I've been involved for quite a while.
How was that? Did you enjoy coaching?
Oh yeah, I love coaching. I mean it's one thing, you know, to see your own kids, but it was always a goal of mine that, you know, I want kids to play hockey because they love hockey, and I try to coach that way, that, you know, that they learn something, that they have a good experience. And, you know, I was fortunate to see some of that in my kids and many of their friends. So
awesome.
It's very cool. And I remember coaching against you and coaching with you, and just, I just listen to you and know that you've got experience and that you've got Buzz's experience behind you. So I just always stole all your guys' ideas and tried to act like I knew what I was doing when I was coaching, and just steal from the guys that know the best, right?
That's what you do.
That was always my plan. Okay. Well,
it's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I can't thank you guys enough for taking the time, and Buzz and Larry, I just want to thank you guys both for putting back into the market and helping so many Utah hockey players. I mean, Buzz, this goes back 40 plus years for you of really just taking this market from what you said. I mean, we didn't really know what's going on. And like you and I were talking before we went live, is there's a lot of guys out there now that are benefiting from the stuff that you have put into this market. And you talk about the Hallorans and you talk about the Brickleys, and that's not possible without guys like you cutting a path for them. So I just want to, I know I've did this for a couple of other coaches that have been on here, but for all local Utah hockey players, I just want to thank you for everything you've done.
Thank you, Jay. And it's always nice to be part of somebody's success or life. I don't like to take credit for anything these kids have done, but I like to be there to help them.
Yeah. And that's why you're a good man. That's why you're a good leader. That's what it takes. It's just wanting to help. And Blake, you're going to be coaching soon. Got to follow in everybody's footsteps. We're going to We're going to see all of you guys out there at Brooks games. And then when Brooke wraps, are you a junior or senior this year, Brooke?
I'll be a senior. I start nursing school in August at the U.
So you could actually play a couple more years then.
Well, okay. It's a year straight through, so this is my last year of hockey.
Oh, okay.
Coming to
a bittersweet
end.
What's that?
Coming to a bittersweet end.
Yes, that is so sad. Yeah. So sad. I was just telling my son, he's looking at the PhD program at the U, and I'm like, you could play for 6 more years.
Totally.
Throw him in.
Yeah, you're in. Okay. Once again, I want to thank the Burns family. I got to thank the G-Man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And Burns family, I'm going to get a hold of you guys. I'm going to give you free Jersey Mike subs. And everybody that doesn't get free Jersey Mikes should go buy Jersey Mikes, because they're nice enough to be our sponsors and help us tell stories like the Burns.
Well, thanks very much.
Thanks for having us.
All right. Thank you, everyone. And that is it for the Utah Puck Report.